You're listening to a This Week election special on RTE Radio 1. We're with you until 3 o'clock today to bring you votes from the local and European elections, as votes from those elections on Friday are sorted and counted. Around a quarter of local election seats have been filled. So far, Fine Gael lead the way with 83 seats, Fianna Fáil on 74 seats and Sinn Féin on 14. No European seats have been filled. There won't be any filled until 10 o'clock tonight at the very earliest, when the first count results can be made public in line with the rest of the EU, if we even get to a first count at that stage. We'll get a picture of how things are going in the European elections shortly, but first let's look at the local elections and join Barry Lenehan at the RTE Results Hub. Barry, what can you tell us?
Yes, 119 first counts there out of the 166 local electoral areas at present. So slowly getting there, Justin, towards the finish line. The pace picking up throughout the morning with more and more councillors elected. As you say, Fine Gael currently leads the way from Fianna Fáil in the race to be the largest party of local government. This likely to go right down to the wire, perhaps to tomorrow, we're told, from strategists from both parties. Fine Gael having 83 seats. They've done particularly well in Dublin, winning 53% of the vote in Stillorgan, their highest in the country thus far, including returning councillor Maeve O'Connell, the wife of current TD and former minister Colm Brophy. Their lowest polling to date is in Ballymun Finglas, where they accrued just 3.6% of the vote. Fianna Fáil's highest vote thus far, it has 74 seats, is 48.6% in Callan Thomastown, while their lowest is a paltry 3% in Lucan in Dublin. Most recently elected for them includes Ryan O'Mara and Nina, a big win for them there, a big breakthrough there, as well as Kay Cahill Skehan in Thurles, the sister of Fianna Fáil TD and chair of the Agriculture Committee, Jackie Cahill. Indeed, 10 Fianna Fáil TDs are to see their siblings elected to local government today, including the Taoiseach and the Finance Minister. In terms of what happens next, between the next big two, a series of tight counts will decide where this goes. Watch out for Westport in particular, where one Fianna Fáil councillor, one Fine Gael and two Jean Poole Fine Gael independent candidates are battling four for two seats with just the width of a cigarette paper between all four. And also look out for Cove as well, where if Dominic Finn can win a seat for Fianna Fáil there, if those votes go across the Belvelly Bridge, that perhaps would signal a good day for them. Sinn Féin still picking through their vote, 14 seats thus far, 11.3% of the vote nationally. Their highest vote was in Carrickmacross, Castleblaney and Monaghan, where they garnered 41.9%. However, they are in third place in Dublin across the four local authority areas with approximately 13% of the vote, which could have fatal consequences for their European election ambitions. The Labour Party are going well. They have 16 seats at present with 5.6% of the vote, including a breakthrough win for Michael Chicken Brennan in Carrick and Shore in County Tipperary, where they are winning seats, which will point to the strength of their Dáil TD, perhaps there, Alan Kelly. The Social Democrats currently have 6 seats on 4% of the vote. They are losing seats in parts of Dublin, including in Dunleary, but they are hopeful of picking up major gains along the way as well, including Pádraig Rice in Cork City, Danny Alvey in Wicklow and Caroline Wynne-Stanley in Bray in County Wicklow as well. They're pointing to a good day. 3 councillors elected thus far for Aintu, and we've had 63 independents who've gone in as well at the moment. Independents of every hue and variety, including the daughter of Matty McGrath in Tipperary, 4 for Team Lowry there as well. And they're likely to be at least 3 candidates of the 100% Redress Party, while the Irish Party, who've espoused concerns around immigration, could pick up a seat in County Cavan as well, where another candidate of that variety is likely perhaps to pick up a seat in Artane in Dublin, while those who have supported protests against the housing of asylum seekers, they are doing well in other areas too.
Barry, thank you for that. More from you later.
Since we've come on air, just a few more councillors who've been elected. Ray McAdam from Fine Gael, elected in the last few minutes to Dublin City Council in the North Inner City local electoral area. In Wexford, Donal Kenny elected for Fianna Fáil in Gorey. And in Limerick, Frankie Daly of the Independents and Conor Sheehan of Labour Party elected in Limerick City North. All that since we've come on air at 1 o'clock. European elections next. You voted on Friday. Counting only started this morning. It's going to take a while. 14 seats, 3 constituencies. Let's check in on what our reporters are seeing and hearing. We'll start in Cork. Brian O'Connell is out. Where are you, Brian? Nemo Rangers GAA Club, is that right?
Nemo Rangers GAA Club here on the south side of Cork City. And the plan here is to keep going until we have a first count. I suppose it's hard to say. It could be close to midnight when we have that first count. Now, I don't want to scare the horses, but it took 20 counts in 2019 to wrap all this up. So it sort of gives you some indication, Gavin, of the kind of task ahead. The pace of the rest of the count will depend to some extent on that first count. So if, as expected, Sean Kelly from Fine Gael tops the poll, and if he doesn't exceed the quota, that will allow for elimination of some of those lower candidates. If he does exceed the quota, the process then in handing out his preferences, that's going to obviously take some time. Tallies, as I've been saying, are pretty low on the ground and very partial. I spoke earlier on this morning about one in Clare, which, even allowing for a strong geographic bias, does show Michael McNamara hoovering up a lot of first preferences, Sinn Féin possibly not doing as well as they would have expected. I have one from Cork County, which was a cross-party tally in Mallow yesterday. Again, that shows Sean Kelly, Billy Kelleher would be on track to retain their seats. McNamara, O'Sullivan, Grace O'Sullivan, the Green Party, Mick Wallace, all pretty close, but again, Sinn Féin would be just behind. So obviously, geography is a factor, but really Sinn Féin are going to need a big vote from the south, the east, you would think. From speaking to Fianna Fáil, they're seeing a lot of second preferences going from Sean Kelly to Billy Kelleher and vice versa. So that cross-pollination, if you like, of voting patterns, it continues, and maybe it's not such good news for the second Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil candidates. The Green Party feel the tally from Clare, which showed Grace O'Sullivan on about 4.5%, gives them a slender piece of hope. They hope she stays ahead of, for example, Labour's Niamh Harrigan, from the Social Democrats, Susan Doyle. And then with such a long ballot paper and such different political views, many are remarking how you could have a candidate elected at the latter stages of all of this, sometime Tuesday or Wednesday, with a pretty low number of first preferences if you compare it to 2019. If you indulge me a little bit, I'm going to share my observations from what I'm calling my totally unscientific table tally.
Go on.
And this involves me looking at bundles of votes for each candidate, which are placed now on tables at the top of the hall. I'm a loss to political science, I know. So 4 hours in at this stage, Gavin, what I can see is that Sean Kelly, Billy Kelleher taking up more tables than anybody else, so more bundles than anybody else at this stage. Michael McNamara doing quite well from what I can see. And then we're looking at Mick Wallace, Kathleen Funchen, Grace O'Sullivan, Cynthia and Niamh Aracu seems to be doing okay. So they all seem to be in and around the same amount of each other. But obviously, I don't know where those votes are from. So they could be from very particular geographical areas. So it's totally unscientific.
First count today or tomorrow, Brian?
Hopefully have a first count coming up to midnight tonight.
Brian O'Connell in Cork, thank you. Let's go to the West. John Cook, who I'd say you're going to be in Castlebar for quite a while, John.
That's for sure, Gavin. Count staff are getting into position here for the marathon that lies ahead of us all in counting votes from 15 counties in this vast Midlands Northwest constituency. And of course, it covers Cavan, Donegal, Galway, Kildare, Laois, Leitrim, Longford, Louth, Mayo, Meath, Monaghan, Offaly, Roscommon, Sligo, and Westmeath. Since 9 o'clock this morning, they've been sorting the 2-foot-long, 27 candidate ballot papers, placing them in extended tiered shelving with custom made pigeonholes. I'm told they're twice as long as used in other elections, specially ordered, the returning officer here told me earlier on today. 4 tiers are divided into separate spaces for each of the 27 candidates in alphabetical order, from Justin Barrett at the top left corner down to John Waters at the bottom right. But it's the middle 2 shelves where you need to keep an eye, because that's the real picture, the real state of play here, as you see the bigger piles forming for names including Blaney, Carberry, Flanagan, McManus, Tobin, Casey, Chambers, Gildernew, McHugh, Mullooly, O'Reilly and Walsh. These are the real contenders in this race. for 5 seats. There were sketchy tallies from some areas yesterday pointing to strong performances for independent Luke Ming Flanagan, the outgoing MEP, as well as outgoing MEP Fine Gael's Maria Walsh, Nina Carberry, the Dancing with the Stars jockey as well running for Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan and Lisa Chambers, Independent Ireland's Kieran Mullooly, Aintu's Pather Tobin and Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildernew in some area. But those were sketchy tallies, and it will be many hours, and yes, there'll be many days, Gavin, to go in this massive count. The returning officer, Marion Chambers Higgins, said that this will be a considerably long count. It will take a considerable amount of time. She expects a first count late Monday evening, she said, or Monday night. And a small number of candidates have decided to arrive early out of the 27 candidates. John Waters here, Daniel Pocock, and Luke Ming Flanagan arriving with his family told me that he's booked accommodation in Castlebar for a week.
Could be there a while. John Cook in Castlebar, thank you. Let's come back closer to home, just down the road from us here at the RDS, where counting is continuing in the Dublin European constituency. Kay Sheehy is there for us.
Yes, I'm here at the four-seat European constituency election here in Simmons Court in near the RDS. The 890,468 votes are being piled into the bundles based on first preferences. Now, Regina Doherty of Fine Gael seems well-placed, some are saying, to maybe be the first elected, though equally Fianna Fáil's Barry Andrew is also showing strong backing with all his votes being piled up. As we know, there is a left-wing seat in this constituency. The outgoing MEP is Claire Daly. Will Sinn Féin's Lynn Boylan win with the help of her running mate, Dáithí Dúlan? Sinn Féin seem quietly confident. But Éadan O'Riordan of Labour has been putting in a good performance. Claire Daly is performing well in some areas, as is Ciarán Cough. But the Independent for Change, Niall Boylan, looks to have a good first preference. But will the others, stock of independents, all aligned on the issue of immigration, transfer to him to get him the fourth seat? These are all the questions being mulled over by the party apparatchiks and the media as we all await the arrival of Mary Lou MacDonald, which is supposed to be imminent. So I'm sure there's going to be a scrum for her and looking to see what bit of information she can give us here.
Okay, thank you. That's Kay Sheehy at the RDS here in Dublin, and we'll bring you all the latest on the European counts as they continue throughout the afternoon.
A few more local election results now just coming in Wexford County Council in the Kilmuckridge local area at Count 2. Pip Breen from Fianna Fáil has been elected. And in Dunleary Rathdown County Council in the Dundrum area, two people elected there, Sean McLaughlin, Independent, and Jim O'Leary, the Fine Gael candidate, also elected. Now let's get some analysis. We're joined in the studio by the first of our panel of election experts, political analyst Odrin Flynn, Dr. Kevin Cunningham, pollster with Ireland Thinks and lecturer with TU Dublin, and Fionnán Sheehan, editor, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you all for coming in today. Odrin Flynn, I suppose just your general overview. We're a day and a half into the local election counts now, and you've heard sort of early indications in relation to the European elections. What's standing out for you?
Well, clearly the Sinn Féin vote is a big change from the opinion polls. It was even a couple of weeks ago, it was in the 20s, mid-20s. It's clearly somewhere around 11, 12% now. Except the thing is, this time 5 years ago, when they were expecting much better for Sinn Féin, they ended up 9.7%. And yet, nine months later, they got the biggest number of votes, 25%. Now, whether it will repeat again is obviously very much open to question.
And could that be? I mean, the fact that, as you mentioned, the Sinn Féin vote at the moment is on 11.2%. It's up marginally, 2.1% up on last time.
Yeah.
When you don't have councillors in place who've been working there for the last 5 years, how important is incumbency when it comes to a local election?
Well, it makes a big difference. In fact, if you go around the country, particularly in more rural areas, there are people who've been elected God knows how many times in local elections to the extent that people will vote for them and wouldn't even be sure what party they're from. So that is a big, big difference. The problem, though, this time, I think, compared to, and sorry, there's another point which I think people may be overlooking, that there was four by-elections at the end of 2019. And the turnout was three of the four were the lowest ever in the history of by-elections. And Sinn Féin didn't do particularly well. Mark Ward won a seat, but that was really the seat that Eoin Breen had. But if you were judging even that in Dublin Fingal, for example, in Louise O'Reilly's constituency, she wouldn't have won a seat based on the by-elections. And yet, 3 months later, tapped the poll. Now, in Dublin, for example, there were several others, but three particular Sinn Féin TDs were elected with almost two quotas. In Desi Ellis in North West, Mary Lou MacDonald in Dublin Central, Angus Osnoddy in Dublin South Central. And when you look at the LEAs that make up most of those, they're below 20% in every one of those. Mm. And the vote appears to be going to other left-wing candidates. But the biggest overtake, apart from the Sinn Féin one, is that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have held their ground. The centre has literally held against, particularly in Fianna Fáil's case, against a lot of expectations. And the people have decided that at this level, at local 11, whether they'll do it the same thing in a few months' time is another matter, but they've decided they feel safer with the status quo.
Fiona and Sheehan, is there any reason to think that the pattern we saw last time, where Sinn Féin did poorly in a local election but did well in a general election, is there any reason to think that that pattern wouldn't be repeated again this time round? Is there any indications in these local election results that might point to a change?
Well, I suppose what Sinn Féin have seen on both occasions is the vagaries of the electorate. You can go up and you can come down just as fast. And they're now left in a scenario where they don't really know what's going to happen next for them. Fine, maybe the debate shifts back onto housing and health and they're more comfortable in those spaces. But I mean, it's not their housing platform now seems to be fracturing as well. And that one day Mary Lou MacDonald is saying a house should be cost 300 grand. The next, that's a subsidy system that Eoin Breen is going to put in place. We just don't have the details on it. And then the day before, Eoin Breen is opposing Dara O'Brien, similar subsidy. So you're kind of left wondering, so where exactly do you stand here? You're kind of looking to this election for Sinn Féin to establish clear candidates who can win those very seats that Audrin was talking about, that they left behind at the last time. Three constituencies outside of Dublin where they didn't get seats. Galway East, Louis O'Hara, got 1,000 votes, 7% in the local elections. That's not a platform to build a general election seat. Cork South West, Claire O'Callaghan, got less than 500 votes, 3%. Joanne Collins in Limerick County got 6%. So basically what Sinn Féin basically seem to be in this position where, well, when the tide is with us, we're flying. But when it's against us, we don't really have the candidates in place who have got the track record on the ground, who can establish themselves and have a personal vote that keeps them afloat and gets them across the line.
Kevin Cunningham, are Sinn Féin's voters then, are they a disloyal voter base then?
I think every voter is a disloyal voter base these days.
Yeah, but you see the other parties, the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, roughly their vote has held up based on what they got last time.
You're absolutely right. In some respect, I think one of the main reasons why the voter base is holding up for all these other parties is because for local elections, people are voting for candidates. And I think for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I think Fianna Fáil in particular, because when they were humbled, let's say in 2011, they built their party around very strong local candidates. I suspect that some of the local candidates for Sinn Féin probably thought this was going to be a walk in the park. You know, they probably thought this is going to be relatively easy. I don't think Sinn Féin have that machine politics that is sometimes purported. The other thing about this election is that, you know, we talked before about the second order election model, how governments tend to do worse in local elections. This, and actually, to be honest, the last election and many elections in Europe in 2014 and 2019 have kind of flipped this on its head. And I think it's partly because of this underlying volatility, which kind of covers across the idea that people will just vote just to boot the government. if you look at these numbers today, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael roughly seem to be on around 23% in these local elections. That's a fantastic result for both parties, it has to be said. Mm. They would be in a position looking at these numbers, which might say that they might got a, you know, head in, you know, be quite comfortable in relation to forming another government. But you can't overinterpret these figures as well. So we've done a polling day poll, sample size 2,800. So it's kind of some of the data I'm kind of getting through now at the minute. And one of the questions I think is quite interesting because it follows asking people how they voted exactly to replicate their ballot in the local elections. But I asked them, would you vote? This is a kind of a standard political science question. Would you vote for the candidate if they're in another party? So it's a way of trying to test their relative loyalty to the party as opposed to the candidate. So the responses are no, yes, or it depends. Okay. So 34% of Fianna Fáil voters say yes. Only 17% of Fianna Fáil voters said no. And very similar numbers for Labour and Fine Gael, very different numbers for Sinn Féin, for which 39% say no, they wouldn't. So it feels very strongly that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have a voter base here in these local elections, which are entirely dependent on the relative strength of those local candidates.
They have candidates of standing, of long-standing candidates, exactly. which Sinn Féin don't have because they only polled 9% last time round.
In part, but you know, you could also, you know, campaigns can also, I mean, they could have done a lot of work. There was a lot of talk about the fact that Sinn Féin had a lot of activism and they were very effective. You know, it actually puts Sinn Féin within striking distance of Labour, Social Democrats and the Green Party. I think one of the big risks for Sinn Féin right now is if they are seen to be that low, a lot of their voters are voting for them because they think they are the, you know, the mechanism for change. If it is viewed by these voters that there is an alternative, you could easily see how they will shift to these other smaller parties if they feel that that's a much more viable option.
Mm-hmm. Audrin, just looking at the patterns we're seeing in relation to the local elections, would you expect that those patterns would be mirrored in the European elections as well?
Maybe not quite to the same extent because it's more obviously a more local thing. But I think to go back to the locals for the moment, I think something that has been overlooked is the turnout. It's only 48.6%. That's about 20 points less than you get in a general election. And I suspect that Sinn Féin have been the most impacted by that.
Mm. Okay.
But they told us 5 years ago the reason they got caught out was because there was a low turnout and they failed to get the vote out. And they said that wouldn't happen again and their machine would kick in.
Yeah, that assumes there is a machine.
Yeah, they would do what they do up in the north and they would be going door to door and reminding people the importance to get out. That didn't happen.
Well, some people were claiming this morning that was because it's a general election in the north as well, and that's that they were the resources were divided. Now that shouldn't be an excuse for it, obviously. But I do think the turnout, I think that is significant. I think it's the people who didn't come out to vote. I think the Fianna Fáil and the Fine Gael vote more or less have come out. You know, I mean, that vote has been fairly steady over elections for a period of time. And I think they have come out. What happens to the other 20% when a general election comes on? That's going to be the key.
Fionnán, is there anything in the local election voting patterns that will kind of give us an indication of what we can expect from the European count? I mean, I'm looking there at for example, the Green Party's share of the vote in Dublin is down by around 5.3%. That's not good news for Ciarán Cough, for example.
No, but at the same time, it does come down to candidates. I mean, Barry Andrews is outpolling Fianna Fáil quite substantially in Dublin. Regina Doherty is basically level with what is happening with Fine Gael. You're seeing a situation where Lynn Boylan is struggling because the Sinn Féin vote is struggling. So yeah, there is some reflection upon it, but at the same time, Sinn Féin should not be struggling to win just one seat in Ireland, Midlands, North West, when you look at their vote across the board. So in European elections, candidates can outperform their party if they are strong enough. And there'll be question marks for Sinn Féin after this if they manage to throw away a seat, which, you know, they won against the odds, I suppose, 5 years ago with Matt Carthy. Were the candidates good enough?
There is also this pattern in European elections in general where Green parties do tend to do a little bit better and Social Democratic centre-left parties do a little bit worse. And that seems to be just because voters are transferring almost like for the European elections, deciding to vote Green in those elections because it's seen as a European level issue. It's not necessarily seen as an issue that Ireland on its own can tackle climate change, you know, in its magnitude. But I think you do find that. So I fully expect Sinn Féin to do worse anyway.
There are some constituencies where there's going to be big question marks over the possibility that they ran too many candidates, which is, of course, the opposite of what happened in the general election. How do you resolve that one? You know, the general election tells you you didn't run enough, and then the locals, you've gone and run too many.
I mean, you have to have some sympathy for them in some respect, you know, because, you know, no one really knew the scale of this sort of collapse until it was probably too late for Sinn Féin to adapt to it at all. I think when it came to the European elections, they could have been a little bit more cautious. But then again, look at Fianna Fáil, they selected three candidates in Midlands North West, and it just seems very unlikely that they're ever going to win more than one. But they seem to be doing okay. They seem to be managing that a little bit better, at least from early predictions, I guess.
It's worse than that, though. I mean, I'm looking at Gavin Jennings sitting beside you. Sinn Féin got a perfectly good, solid councillor from Castleknock, who won against the odds last time, in situ for the last 10 years, well respected by colleagues, regarded as a good local worker on the ground. They moved her from there into Cabot last Nevin, Mary Lou McDonald's heartland, and she utterly tanked. They had four candidates spread across one quota, utter disaster. They're probably going to lose that seat that she would have held in Castleknock. So there is a knock-on ripple effect of when you make a bad decision like that, it can actually be costly on multiple levels. So we see in Northern Ireland where Sinn Féin are very good at PRSTV, PR system when it comes to the Assembly elections. Belfast, they are superb at managing their vote across the board, getting their candidates across the line. Not so south of the border.
Mm-hmm. Aldrin, you wanted to come in there as well. Did you questions around the selection of too many candidates for Sinn Féin?
Yeah, the problem they have obviously now is that they reduced the number of candidates after the last local elections, which obviously cost them 8-9 seats potentially. So what do they do now? I mean, do they actually decide for the general election in a few months' time whether or not they abandon the strategy they would have had 5 years ago, or, you know, decide, okay, we won't make that same mistake again. We'll put in more into seats. We should be winning maybe two quotas, like Dublin North West, like South Central, all of those constituencies and other parts of the country as well. And then they risk that the polls staying where they are, and they don't, you know, they risk it both directions. And it's a very tricky, I was listening to Ona Breen on the way in this morning, and he accepted that they have to rethink their strategy and what that will be and who will decide that strategy at the end of the day. Because you sort of think there's two different wings now within Sinn Féin.
Yeah. Fiona, just a quick word on the candidates, some of those candidates who were campaigning, who made immigration their number one issue, some of the right-wing candidates. How have they been doing in general?
Yeah, we're kind of watching those closely. A lot of them aren't flying. And two who have been kind of what you'd call immigrant skeptic, they're not quite far right in this regard. They're going to look at probably about a half dozen councillors at the end of the day. Yeah. Patrick Tobin is very, very strong from there. Likewise, Michael McNamara has raised questions, not so much about immigration, but the management of the system, doing well there. Niall Boylan definitely in the hunt for a seat for Europe as well. And beyond that,
Matt Easteen's in there in the north inner city.
Yeah, getting in Gavin Pepper going well. Well, in Ballymun, Finglas. So a bit, or we're obviously watching to see these people are not going to have, a lot of them are not going to have enough votes on the first count to get across the line, but can they then attract transfers to get them elected? So there will be a smattering of what you would call anti-migrant, far-right councillors elected around the country, but not massive numbers.
No, nothing. Just, if you believe the artist formerly known as Twitter, you know, you would have thought about 50% of all the elected candidates would be coming from the far right. And the referendum proved that the vast majority of people are anything but far right.
All right, we're going to take a break there, and we'll be talking to Minister Jack Chambers after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to This Week Election Special on RTE Radio 1. A few more councillors elected in the last quarter of an hour or so. Claire Murray for Fianna Fáil elected in Offaly County Council in Eden Derry. Ian Doyle of Fianna Fáil elected in Kanturk in Cork County Council. Eddie Moore, an independent, elected in Ross Gray, Temple Moore in Tipperary. Maeve Yore, independent, elected in Louth. Eileen Lynch elected in Macroom in Cork. Kieran Burke elected in Carrick and Shore in Tipperary. Ian Doyle elected, I may have mentioned that already, in Cork. And Claire Murray elected in Eden Derry in Offaly. And Fionnán mentioned my home area of Cabaret last Nevin before the break. Nobody elected there yet, but a first count delivered last night. The Green Party's Fionnán Yose expected to be elected in the second or third counts. Jack Chambers is with us in studio. He's Fianna Fáil Minister of State and the party's Director of Local Elections. Thank you very much for coming in to us.
Thanks, Sam.
It's looking like Fine Gael are going to replace your party as the largest party of local government after 13 years in government. How did that happen?
Well, I wouldn't accept that at this point. We're within less than a percent of each other, and a lot of this is going to come down to transfers in 5, 6, 7 seat constituencies, and local geography and candidate strategy will play a key role there. So we wouldn't concede that at all at this point. And actually, if you take the wider picture, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we had Sinn Féin and Fine Gael polling in all of the opinion polls at 22-20%, Fianna Fáil apparently in the mid-teens. And that was kind of setting the wider analysis of the political picture entering into this local elections. We're nip and tuck with Fine Gael about who will become the largest party of local government. That comes down to a phenomenal grassroots campaign by our wider organisation, brilliant community champions and candidates within communities who are visible, active and about bringing a positive future to their communities and delivering for people. So I wouldn't, it'll be nip and tuck, go right into this evening about which party will be the largest party of local government. It's clear that both parties are going to be strong forces across councils across the country. We're going to be larger in some, Fine Gael and others. But one thing is clear, that Sinn Féin have had a devastating result, a complete rejection of their message of change,
and your party
and both government parties have done well.
For the time being, you mentioned about the polling, and you're right, much of that polling has seen your party below 20% in recent months. It's looking like you've got a little over 22% of the local election vote. You got 22% in the general election in 2020, 27% of the last local elections. You have lost some ground from that. 24% in 2016, 25% in 2014. Let's leave aside the collapse in 2009. Your vote has remained remarkably unchanged over the last 10 years.
Well, it could be marginally up, actually, from the last general election, which is quite unusual in midterm elections for a government party.
Very marginally up, yes.
But it's quite unusual. If you ask any political scientist, they would accept that second order or midterm elections
for government parties
tend not to do well. And if you take all of the analysis and the discussions that many would have had within this studio, it was very much a negative perspective around our party, talking about our collapse, saying that we'd be the third party or worse in local government, and we're going to be nip and tuck.
Looks like you'd be the second.
You
mentioned about transfer patterns, for example, and hoping to benefit from transfers as the counts continue. It's looking like, for many of the tally men and for many of our reporters who are looking at the transfer patterns, that there's quite a degree of transfer between the government parties, and particularly between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, which doesn't seem unusual given that you've been in coalition and in a confidence and supply arrangement before that, but traditionally would have been seen as unusual. Is coalition with Fine Gael helping Fianna Fáil?
Well, but that we'll be able to assess that.
What do you think?
I think both parties are working well together in government, and again, we're approaching this result with humility, with focus.
Is coalition with Fianna Fáil helping Fine Gael?
I think that's for the analysis here beside me.
Well, you're director of local elections. What do you think?
I believe that we're working well with Fine Gael in government, and this isn't about Fianna Fáil. This is about the people we represent. It's about the communities we want to deliver for. It's about strong economic management nationally and delivering the services and the outcomes and better prospects for communities.
Will you forgive me if I will focus on Fianna Fáil, given that you're director of elections for the party, and that's what we're focused on in the interview?
Yeah, Fianna Fáil isn't focused on itself. We're focused on the people we represent, the people that have given us a mandate at local level, and focused on delivering in government. That's the reason we're all in in politics. It's not an obsession with our own percentage and that's how we approach every election and how we approach our candidates' approach delivery at local level.
I know you've come straight from a TV studio to us, but what's your understanding of what's happening at the European Council for your party?
So look, it's very early days. I think we're in a good position to make a gain in Midlands North West. But again, we've different kind of small tallies or in different parts of the Midlands North West, a vast constituency, as we all know. But I think we're pretty confident and optimistic that we'll make a gain in Midlands North West and that we'll hold
A seats,
yes. Okay. And then obviously Barry Andrews and Billy Kelleher to hold their seats, which is an improvement on 2019.
Jack Chambers, thank you very much for coming into us.
Thanks, Gavin.
Now, in the last few minutes at Monaghan County Council, Raymond Ockey and Seamus Traynor have both been elected. Also in the last few minutes, the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has been speaking at the RDS County Centre. Here's what she had to say.
We are disappointed that we didn't manage to get more of them elected. We have made some gains. They are modest, but they're there. It hasn't been our day. Clearly, frustrations, anger indeed with government policy on this occasion has translated into votes for independence and others.
That's the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, speaking in the past few minutes. Let's get a perspective from Fine Gael now and talk to the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee. Minister, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Hi, Justin.
It looks like Fine Gael will be close to being the largest party in local government, if not the largest party in local government. That's something you must be pleased with today.
Well, look, I mean, this has certainly been a positive weekend for Fine Gael, both at a local level and also at a European level. You could only be forgiven for thinking a couple of months ago Fine Gael had been written off. In fact, what we now see is the work that our councillors have done on the ground, the work that our team is doing at a national level, people are responding to it, and that's very clear by the vote that has come out. I'm here in Simonstown in my own constituency in Meath, and what's very clear is that our councillors who have been active on the ground, working with communities, supporting communities, delivering for communities, their vote has held, and in a lot of places, not just here locally, but right across the country, there's the potential for us to gain seats, but also in areas where we traditionally wouldn't have always done well. We've heard already from Dublin Central, Ray McAdam topping the poll with Luke Corkery out in Fingal, where we're getting a seat where we haven't had one in over a decade now, and that's been reflected right across the country. I think as well at a European level, what's very clear is that the pro-European vote has held, and unfortunately we're not necessarily seeing that across Europe at the moment, but it's very clear that Irish people have voted to support pro-European parties, and Fine Gael has always been a pro-European party, a party at the centre of Europe, and now more than ever it is so important that we have people who are pro-European representing us in the European Parliament.
And in the European Parliament elections in your own constituency of Midlands North West, you ran two candidates there, Nina Carberry and Maria Walsh. How are things looking for them at the moment? I heard Luke Ming Flanagan yesterday suggest that there's a possibility that both those candidates could take seats.
Well, look, I think it's early days, yes. You know, we only have a snippet of some of the tallies from right across the constituency. What's clear, I think, is Maria Walsh is doing very well and is very strong as the incumbent MEP. But also Nina Carberry is very clear as well from the tallies and the example of boxes that we have that she's also polling well. So I do certainly think we will hold our seat in Dublin. I think we'll hold our seat in the south. And we do potentially have a good chance of taking two in the Midlands Northwest. But, you know, I think it will be later on in the week. It's going to take time to go through all of the votes. We're talking perhaps tonight before we have a first count or tomorrow morning. So it will take some time. But again, transfers, looking at who has who has managed to secure second, third, fourth preference votes. We can see again from the initial tallies that Nina Carberry has done well in that instance as well.
Right.
So it's all to play for.
Just looking at the local elections, Minister, there are a number of candidates who campaigned on an anti-immigration platform who've done quite well, and a number of them who will take seats. What message are you taking from the people who voted for those candidates?
You know, I think overall the message is very clear that the vast majority of people in this country rejected the far right or the anti-immigrant vote. And I think, yes, absolutely, there are a number of people that have been selected, and there will be a few more that have been selected or will be selected based on an anti-immigrant vote. But the vast majority of people came out in support of those who are pro-European, who are pro-migrant, who want us to make sure that we have a positive, a firm but fair migration system in place. And that's reflected even in the candidates that we ourselves have and that are getting across the line, candidates from new and diverse backgrounds and communities right across the country. So what's very clear is that people did not support the anti-immigrant sentiment in the way that you would have assumed. You know, I heard one of your commentators say there, if you were to look at Twitter or some of the social media, you would assume that nearly all candidates would have been anti-immigrant. And that's just not the case. That's not the people we are. That's not the communities that we represent. But what I think is very clear from the overall vote this weekend is that Sinn Féin continued to decline, that they have lost their momentum, and that their soundbite of change really has absolutely nothing substantial behind it. What people have done is voted for the party and parties who are actually delivering in government and on the ground.
And independents as well, in huge numbers. Minister, huge numbers of independents coming in as well. But as you say, it has been a good day for your party and a good day for Fianna Fáil. Would you feel confident if there was to be an early election?
Well, look, I mean, the polls are obviously further ahead than we would have expected. Sinn Féin is much further behind than I think would have always been touted. What's clear is people want us to continue doing what we're doing. And we are a party that still has work to do. We are a party that throughout this entire election has continued to deliver, to make new announcements, to show that we have new policies and priorities that we want to get across the line. And people have responded to that and they have voted for that. And I think that's what our focus will be now.
But Minister, you may, after the European elections, have three or four TDs elected to the European Parliament. And that means you'd have to have by-elections by the 8th of December. Would you rather fight a general election in the summer or early autumn sunshine, or face multiple by-elections in the depths of winter?
Well, look, every election that I've fought has been in a winter time, and the weather has never been the nicest. But I think all of us would prefer to be out canvassing in the sunny weather. But at the same time, we have a lot more work to do. We're not finished our term, and I think people really have voted to make sure that we continue doing the job on the ground, and that's exactly what we continue to do. When the date is set, that's obviously a matter for the Taoiseach, and we'll support whatever that decision is.
Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Carrie Smith of Labour, elected on the first count in Killiney Shankill in Dunleary Rathdown. Who else have we got? Alina Secas has been elected for the Labour Party also in Limerick City and County Council. By the way, nobody elected yet in either Donegal, Longford, Laois or Meath and Leitrim, the only county council in the country to have finished its counting. Everybody elected there will be bringing you results right throughout here on RTÉ Radio 1 on our This Week election special. Let's cross to the RDS, just down the road from us here in Dublin. Green Party TD and Minister Roderick O'Gorman is standing by. Roderick O'Gorman, thank you for talking to us today. Given that you're in the RDS, the prospect as you see it so far for your MEP, Kieran Cuff, where you are.
Hi, Gavin. Good afternoon. I'm a bit in the dark, as I think most people are, in terms of the Euro election results. But I've seen a partial tally from Dublin City, and I would have been keeping an eye on the boxes in my my own area, Fingal in Dublin West, yesterday as well during the tallies. What I would say is I'd be fairly confident in calling the first three seats between Lynn Boylan, Barry Andrews and Regina Doherty. And then I see a complete dogfight for the final seat. And look, Niall Boylan's in that fight. Kieran Cuff, our own Kieran Cuff, is there. Éan O'Riordan, Claire Daly and probably Breed Smith as well. So I think in terms of it'll be about the order of elimination. It'll be regional, it'll be party based. So I expect it'll be well into tomorrow before we have a sense of the final Dublin seat.
Would you accept, though, that there is quite a strong risk that you'll lose both your seats, Kieran Cuff and Grace O'Sullivan South?
Well, look, we Ciarán topped the poll last time. The vote is definitely down. It's down, yes, down considerably. So, yeah, look, we're in a dogfight for the final seat here in Dublin. I don't have any hard information on Ireland South, to be honest, so I couldn't speak to that. But, look, I'd say we're in a dogfight for the last seat in both constituencies.
Local elections, you won 49 seats in 2019 on 7.5% of the vote. It's looking like you've got just over 4% of the vote this time. How many seats realistically are you likely to hold on to?
Yeah, the vote is down. As we had our best ever result in 2019. We've had a mixed results today. We've had some fantastic results in Dublin City, poll topping in four local electoral areas there. Strong results in Dunleary Rathdown, in Wicklow. Other parts of the country we're losing seats. So I'd say probably in the mid-20s in terms of seat numbers at the end. We'll, again, like in the Euros, we'll be scrapping it out for the last seat in a lot of local electoral areas across today and well into tomorrow as well. And so look, deeply disappointing for some amazing councillors, some amazing first-time candidates, but also seeing some very, very strong results in some areas as well.
The vote is low for your party in the local area as of your own constituency, where you polled 11% of the vote in 2020. Based on the type of figures that we're seeing so far, your own seat would be in danger if that was to be repeated in a general election. Would you accept that?
I think if the exact same vote was repeated, yeah, it would be a challenge there. Obviously, we're on five seats now rather than four in 2019. But as you know yourself, Gavin, a local election and a general election are two very different beasts. Look, I'll be working even harder in terms of the focus on my constituency, recognising that there's a challenge there, recognising, you know, I built my vote up over the guts of 20 years, and I know from the campaign over the last 5 weeks, but indeed over in the last 2 years, going out knocking doors every week like I do, I know there's still strong support there for me as well.
Justin was just asking the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, there about her thoughts on the success of some candidates in the general election who would have campaigned very vociferously on an anti-migrant platform. There's also been some success for candidates who would have been quieter but would have been supportive of protests in parts of the country where asylum seekers were being housed or were going to be housed. And this would have represented a large part of your policy and a large part of your work over recent months. Your reflections on their success today?
Well, in terms of, I suppose, it's always difficult to categorise, in terms of far-right candidates, you know, there are 949 people being elected today to local authorities. There will be a very small number of far-right candidates elected.
They weren't there before.
They weren't there before, and we've had a huge focus on the issue of migration over the last 9 months in across the media, across our politics, and we've seen a small number of far-right candidates elected. I regret to see them elected, but I think we have to put it into context. I think over the course of this campaign, the focus on migration decreased as we came closer to polling day. And I think it's also important to say that some candidates who spoke up bravely to support integration in their communities, to condemn acts of violence, were also elected. I focus on Janet Horner in the North Inner City, who's in third place at the moment and will be comfortably re-elected. So again, I think there are a body of people out there who want to see, who support integration in our country, who recognise the diversity of our country and reward politicians who speak up in favour of this.
Roger O'Gorman of the Green Party, thank you for speaking to us from the audience yesterday.
We're joined now by the Sinn Féin finance spokesman, Piers Doherty. Piers Doherty, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Justin.
Minister Jack Chambers was saying in our studio earlier that the result today for Sinn Féin is devastating and a complete rejection of your party's policies. Is he right?
No, listen, Jack is obviously a political opponent, but it is devastating for the candidates, really good new candidates who went out there, campaigned in their communities and didn't get elected. And, well, you know, we we're going to take a few extra seats in different parts of the state. This is not the result we were hoping for. It isn't the result we expected. And there's a clear need for us in Sinn Féin now to look at what went wrong, but most importantly, to actually listen to the conversations we had with people on the doorsteps, to take that back, to dust ourselves down and to go again. Because for those who have been elected in different parts of the country, their job is to get back into work now in local government and delivering for them. And our job as a national leadership of the party is to make sure that we are ready for the general election. Mm. And unfortunately, Justin, we've been here before. 5 years ago, we were having the same conversations.
I'm sure you could almost replay the tape from 5 years ago, because you said then that you would learn the lessons after the local elections in 2019, that this would never happen again, that you would make sure to get your vote out in the future. You didn't learn those lessons, though, did you? And you didn't get the vote out.
Well, look, you know, I can remember talking to a colleague of mine who lost their seat in the local elections, and I told them that we don't have the opportunity to put our heads down, that people are depending on us, and that we needed to dust ourselves down and get back at it. And within 9 months, that person topped the poll in the general election and was elected as a TD. So we did learn the lessons at that time. No two elections are the same. And as I said, this is not the result that we wanted. It wasn't the result we expected. While we have made gains in some areas, while we have obviously taken seats and, you know, we've improved our vote, it is not where we want to be. And there is a general election. People obviously, local elections and European elections are their own type of elections. And that's now twice that we have failed to actually deal with a proper strategy and campaign in that election. But we now need to actually look at what's ahead of us, and it is a general election, and I still think that people want change. I think people have voted, you know, in large numbers for independence, but there is now a question where people need to ask themselves, do they want Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil for the next 5 years? And if they do, then they will vote the same way that they voted in the local elections, but if they don't, then they're going to have to vote.
But from your point of view, Piers Doherty, will Sinn Féin be looking again now at its slate of candidates? And, you know, given that it looks like you've run too many candidates in some local authority areas, will you be maybe scaling back on some of the candidates and revising your candidate, the number of candidates that you're going to be running for the general election?
I think after an election like this and after the conversations we've had, it's important that we have a full review, you know, of what went wrong. Also, where went right, because in some areas where we've stood four candidates, we're actually in the hunt for the fourth seat. In eight places where we've stood three candidates, we're in the hunt for the third seat. So it went right in some places as well, but we have to learn all the lessons. The challenge in any election is that you pick your candidates not the day before polling day, but you pick your candidates well out. And what we've seen in this campaign is that the tide went out on us during the election. It was reflected in the polls and the opinion polls, and obviously the important poll the day on the day, it actually was worse again. So you can't start dropping candidates at that stage. So we'll reflect on all of that in terms of our own candidate strategy, but that's not the main issue, you know, because at the end of the day, if the votes were there, the candidates would be elected, you know, and that isn't the main issue here. The main issue is that we didn't convince enough people and that we were the party that would deliver the change for them.
And why do you think that is, Piers Doherty? Do you think that perhaps voters, you know, who might not be minded to vote for the government, perceive Sinn Féin now as a mainstream party and not a party of disruptors? And if they wanted to vote for a disruptor, then they opted for independence instead?
Look, you know, with local elections, there's also a huge local dynamic, and we have to understand that. And when you've got incumbency, that's a major issue as well. So we were starting from a low base, and unfortunately, we haven't increased much beyond that low base. But when you've got a councillor ingrained in their community, it's very hard after, you know, 5 years, and some of them are there for 10 years, to actually to move that. And votes are very, very local. But there are different messages that have been sent to us. And look, our job is, and we will do this review, but this isn't something that's going to take a long time. We'll have an internal conversation in relation to this year, because there is a general election going to happen. It's going to happen within, 9 months? And there is a big responsibility in us. We know the responsibility of the people who voted for us. And large numbers did vote for us in this election. We We know that they can't afford five more years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but they also want to know that we're up to the job, that we have the policies, that we have the solutions, that we have the leadership, and we do have that. We need to communicate with people better, and we need to light that spark of hope in them again that actually change is possible. And I think that we're up for the job. I think we can do that. I think the general election is a different type of election, obviously, from local and European elections, and you know where you are electing the formation of a government. And what we've seen is huge volatility. We've seen a campaign that didn't go our way this time. But the last campaign, the last general election, it went our way. It actually, our vote increased during the campaign. In this case, our vote decreased. But look, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this, Justin.
All right. Well, Piers, thank you very much for talking to us today. That's Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesman.
A few more election results for you in Monaghan, in Carrickmacross, Castle Blaney. Aidan Campbell of Fine Gael and Colm Carthy of Sinn Féin elected. In Tipperary, in Nina, Louise Morgan Walsh of the Labour Party and Independent Seamus Morris elected. Let's go to Sligo next and talk to Independent TD in Sligo Leitrim and former MEP for the Midlands Northwest, Marion Harkin. Marion Harkin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Have you had a cousin elected over the weekend?
Oh, I had, yes. My first cousin, James Gilmartin, he was elected in the Manor Hamilton electoral area. He ran as an independent and he did very well. His first time out. And
top the poll, yes.
Yeah, but he did really well. He's a good guy, so I'm delighted for him and his family, as you are for all of those who are elected, because it's one of the things we've been saying, that when people put their head above the parapet, it's very public, and elections are very public. And win, lose or draw, you know, it's a big issue. So for those who won, you're delighted for them. But equally, for those who put out their best shot and didn't make it, a lot of sympathy as well. But delight for James.
Leitrim, the only council to have wrapped up its voting, it's slightly bucking the trend, a fall in the Fine Gael vote there and a rise in Sinn Féin's vote to over 20%.
Yes, there's a rise in the Sinn Féin vote from, I think, 2 seats to 4. There's an increase in the independent vote as well from 4 to 5. But you see, you know, you've got to look at the local issues. In the Manor Hamilton electoral area, Fine Gael lost 2 seats. But they had 2 retiring councillors. So they had 2 new people running, and just it didn't go their way. And then they lost another seat. So, you know, you can't always extrapolate national trends from the figures that you see. But nonetheless, there is a loss of seats for them there. But as somebody was saying earlier, if you're an incumbent, it makes a huge difference in local elections, and you can see that. And where people retire, there is the evidence from Leitrim and Sligo is that there is absolutely no guarantee that the person who runs, if it's the same party or if it's an independent, that they will have a good chance of taking that seat. More often than not, they won't.
Did migration have any effect on the vote in Sligo Leitrim? I remember there were protests in Drumahair, and there were some of the candidates who were involved who would have been involved in both supporting and on the other side involved in counter-protests too.
I don't think it had much impact, if any. Okay. I did a lot of canvassing around that area, and while people did have concerns, and they were looking to see who would reflect their perspective, I think, in a fair and reasonable way. And I think that's how the votes panned out. But if you're asking me about, you know, far-right candidates, whatever, no, there was no evidence of that at all. That's certainly not in the ballot boxes. But just one small little bit of interest. There's a new Labour councillor in Sligo, Nessa Cosgrove. There hasn't been a Labour councillor for a while now.
That's right,
I'm
yes.
not sure how many years, but Nessa has been elected in Sligo Strandhill, a great team around her, and it's a great win for her personally.
We were talking to John Cook earlier in Castlebar. It's going to be a long, long count to elect MEPs in Midlands North West. We spoke to you about 5 years ago around this time to try and get your insight. You were very prescient then. What's your reading of where those seats might go?
Oh, it's a lot less this time, and not just because of the numbers, it's because the tallies have not come in. Like, it's easy to be prescient if somebody is giving you good figures, you know, but there's top class figures from Sligo and Leitrim, as precise as the tallies for the locals, but they're not coming in from elsewhere. And I'll just give you a quick run through them. The total Fianna Fáil vote, the tallies on the Europeans, is 25%, with Chambers on top at 10. But interestingly, Blaney just behind her on 8 and Cowan on 7.5.
That's a northwest lean towards that, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. That's the Sligo Leitrim tally. And so what you can see there is Cowan, I would think, is the front runner, and he's still, you know, getting a 7.5% of the tallies. For Fine Gael, Maria Walsh is doing very well. She's getting about 15%. But interestingly, Carberry is getting 5%. That's between Sligo and Leitrim. You mightn't expect that vote, but it shows that she has real vote pulling power, even in this part of the world. For Sinn Féin, their total is 17, with McManus at 14, Gildernew at 3. That'll be a disappointment. While, as you said, they got new seats in Leitrim, their European vote or tally would not indicate that it crossed that line, as it were. Ming Flanagan, independent, he's on an average about 14 between the two counties.
Okay.
And then Independent Ireland, Kieran Mullooly, he's on 10. I thought initially there might be a battle between Tobin and Mullooly, but certainly in this part of the world, Tobin is on 3.5%.
So you're a long way from me there, though, to be fair.
Yes, I know, but still, yes, true. But nonetheless, he's run candidates throughout the country.
Of course.
He's had a very strong presence postering all of that. So, but it just shows that certainly here, there's not going to be a battle between those two. But I have no overall view at all, except to say that I think Barry Cowan seems to be safe.
Okay.
And Carberry, if she's doing that well here, should be in with a great chance. Obviously, there'll be Sinn Féin, and I think Ming will definitely be elected. But the last seat, who knows?
Marion Harkin in Sligo, thank you.
A few more local election results now, just in Cavan County Council. Fine Gael's Carmel Brady has been elected in the last few minutes. Also, Leonard Kelly, independent, elected to Wexford County Council. And Gary Laffin of Fianna Fáil, also elected in Wexford County Council. And in Tipperary County Council, I know Fionnán is going to be keeping an eye on that closely there. Louise Morgan Walsh of the Labour Party is elected. And Seamus Morris, the independent, elected as well. So he's the postman there, isn't he, I think, Fionnán?
Father of Jake,
is that right?
One of the great Tipperary forwards of this season.
Very good. Fionnán Sheehan, what do the results as they're coming in now and the trends tell us about the likely timing of the next general election?
Yeah, Simon Harris is now, that's going to be the question landing on his desk now tomorrow, because you're going to have a number of by-elections out of these results. Kathleen Funchen, Michael McNamara, Barry Cowan, possibly on O'Riordan, plus a European commissioner. So the clock starts ticking effectively from tomorrow. That brings him up to December 7th. So he's going to have to decide, right, we're either going to run the by-elections, or we're going to hold off till the new year, or we're not, and we're going to go in the autumn. I don't really see that there's time to do a summer election this stage. There's only people who will be away on holidays in July, and August is a completely dead month. So you can go September, bring the budget forward, go after.
That's the signal, isn't it? If we see
September,
the budget being brought forward,
then they're up to something. So there is that window available for him. Otherwise, he does as Leo Varadkar did 5 years ago. You run off your by-elections as a mini general election that doesn't really tell you much in the winter, and then you hang on until the early days of the new year. It was an interesting side effect for those in the public sector in the last couple of weeks. Public sector pay rise landed in their pay packets. backdated 5 months. There was a grand little bonus there from Pascal Donoghue to every public sector worker in the country. So the economics does come into it, and do you really want to wait until the new year when people are paying off credit card bills in the dark days of winter after Christmas? At the same time, Simon Harris has been quite clear. He's waiting till the new year. He wants to cling on as long as he can. He can get it into early March. Nice trip to the White House then for him, one way or another.
All right. Kevin Cunningham, final word from you. We heard from Piers Doherty earlier. I mean, you can sense the kind of dejection and despondency in all the Sinn Féin voices, Mary Lou MacDonald as well, earlier. What will be happening in Sinn Féin now to try and put things right?
I think it's, I mean, probably for Sinn Féin's benefit in some respect. If the general election is the big one, a sort of a humbling in some respect in terms of their organisation and the effectiveness of their organisation, might be a significant boon to them, might be a wake-up call in some respect to them and their candidates to understand that they do need to get out and knock on doors. I mean, one of the questions we had here, which asked people whether they'd experienced any candidate contacting them, Sinn Féin were way down, only 18% saying that they'd experienced Sinn Féin, whereas mid-30s for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I think it just shows the extent to which their organisation isn't good. Fianna Fáil had learnt that in 2011. They're benefiting significantly for the last couple of years on this basis. But I think that's part of it. That's a big part of how things move forward. I would also say that, you know, while some politicians for Fianna Fáil might view this in a positive way, they have to recognise that they're probably their natural brand is lower than where this local election vote has them. Because it is clear that their candidates are very, very effective and have kind of dragged them up a little bit. I think kind of maybe acknowledgement of that would probably be beneficial as well.
Very quick word, Audrin Flynn. Helen McEntee says she'd rather be canvassing in the sunshine. Do you think there will be knocks on Simon Harris's door tomorrow morning saying maybe take the ball on the hop?
I think there probably will. And I think Fianna Fáil, despite Jack Chambers dodging the question, I think they will as well. I think the potential problem is the Greens will want to stay as long as possible because there's a good chance they won't be in government for a long time. And that could cause a problem between the government parties. Mm. The Greens want to stay as long as they can. The other two parties want to go in the autumn or late, well, maybe November, get the budget out of the way. And I think that could cause a crisis and could cause the government collapsing on the basis of that.
All right. Thank you all very much for speaking with us for now. We'll hold on to you, Audrin. We're going to let Fionnán and Kevin go, and we're back with more after this break.